I greet you in the name of God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Christ Jesus. May it be that we receive mercy, peace, and love. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to our worship service this morning. The only intimations that I have is just to make you aware that at the back of the church there's a yellow pamphlet. This document or little advertisement pamphlet has all the dates and the activities from the 13th of from March until the 31st of March. So we are in a season of Lent. So if you are interested in attending one of these services, just check the date and what will be happening on that day, and you're welcome to come and worship and join us. Lent is really a time of deep reflection. It's not it's not actually an easy time in the Christian calendar, because we are reflecting on death. Death of God, death of ourselves. But with that, we also reflect on the resurrection. So through death, through dying, there is life. So the content of our reflection this time of the year is quite serious, and it is something that one needs to take time to consider. The reflection is on the theology that considers that Jesus died on the cross. But it's not just Jesus, it is God. God became human, God became Christ, and then being willing to die for us. It is the actions of God on the cross that we rely on. So it's something, it's not just, we just don't reflect on this idea of God dying, but we also rely on this action of God, because through that our salvation comes. God is dying for sinners, and it seems to be foolish for the world. This whole idea of dying for us, we're not really worthy of such great actions, but even though we're not worthy, God still does it. He still dies for us. And this whole idea seems to be foolish. But that which seems to be foolish for us in this world, that is the power and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God seems to be foolish, but that is where the treasure is. It is God's surprising wisdom that functions as a rock for us. It is God's wisdom that is our rock, is our stability from where we build our lives. Our identity is in God's actions and God's redeeming work through the cross. Let us now start worshiping God whilst we start to reflect on God's action of saving us from our sins. Let us approach in worship. The sky above proclaims God's handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. Let us worship God with our first hymn. Worship, O worship the King, all glorious above.
Thank you.
Let us approach God as we pray together. Lord, the sky proclaims your glory. The heavens declare your handiwork. You are great, and we are here to make it known that we worship only you. You, Lord, are our God, and you are our Maker, and we worship you. You are our Redeemer. Through your sacrificial acts on the cross, you have saved us. You have made us free. It is your cross that reveals your power that seems to be foolish for this world. However, we believe it is your wisdom and your power revealed to us. We bow before your cross and we ask for your forgiveness. When we see ourselves greater than you, when we become our own gods, Lord, forgive us. When we make gods of our achievements and our knowledge, forgive us. Forgive us when we forget to be humble in the face of you, Lord. Lord, remember your actions on the cross and extend the cleansing blood to our hearts and our minds. And may we feel and sense and know that we are forgiven because of your grace and your mercy. In our hearts, we are reassured that your actions save us through the cross. We are thankful that your power has revealed itself surprisingly and in an unusual way, a way that brought all worldly wisdom and might into question. We ask, Lord, that you make us aware of your power and knowledge this Lent. Motivate us and encourage us, Lord, so that we can continue to reflect on the deeper things, the deeper meanings in life, on death, dying, resurrection. Help us, Lord, to consider these themes this season. Bring about understanding of your wisdom, so that we may stand in awe of you. May we come to a point this season, Lord, where we say, wow, God is amazing. You are amazing. May we ponder your Spirit, which reveals the surprising love that you have, a love that extends to us and embraces us with warmth and with encouragement, a love that brought salvation, a love that brought deep happiness, knowing that we belong with you. Let us now pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn will be Spirit of God, Come Dwell Within Me, 722. Good morning, boys and girls. What picture do we have up there? One of the signs. What do you think that picture is all about? Any ideas? The picture on the left side. See, it says a signpost. You know what does a signpost do? It gives. Exactly. It gives direction. Okay. And not just random direction. It specifically states, this is the name of the place. And if you walk that direction where the arrow points, then you know where to go. Now, these signposts or signs you get all over in many places. You get advertisement signs. So what is the purpose of an advertisement sign? It's to sell something, huh? It's to say, listen, this is a grand new product. You need to buy this. It's just £1 million. It's cheap. And then you can have it. Okay. And then your life will be changed. Okay. So advertisements tries to encourage you to do something. But something that's quite obvious, a sign that we maybe don't notice anymore. Well, I don't notice it, to be honest. I've internalized it to such a point that I just presume it's there. And it's called traffic signs or road signs. Have you seen some road signs? I'm sure you have. Just imagine how chaotic it will be if we didn't have road signs. Just imagine if there's no stop sign, there's no you're not allowed to turn this direction sign, if there's no speed sign, just imagine the chaos. Okay, so what else do you think is a sign that we don't really see, but that's important? When you drive, the whole idea of driving on a certain side of the road. Just imagine we didn't have any rules on driving on a certain side of the road. Like if sometimes we decide to drive on the right and the other time we decide to drive on the left, a lot of people will get hurt and will maybe go to hospital, or people will find themselves not wanting to drive anywhere because you just don't know what will happen. Now, I've brought a road sign here, and I want you boys and girls to think, what sort of sign is this? Okay, it's a road sign, but what does it say? Police, okay, it says police, okay, and what else? Any ideas? Okay, it says this sign makes reference that you're not allowed something. Okay, it's forbidden. If you see a sign like this, it's like you don't do it. What do you think this sign says you're not allowed to do?
Like you're not allowed to go any further.
Yes, that's a good thing. It's like stop, think about it. You're not allowed to go further. But more specifically, this is saying you're not allowed to park here. Okay, so if you see a sign like this and it's sort of on the side of the road, it says to you, if you think about it, don't. Okay? Stop right there. You're not allowed to park there, and you're also not allowed maybe to pass by. And it also says police here. The police, and well, in the church's case, the police didn't authorize us putting it out there, but it's there anyway. So, okay, I'm not going to go there. Okay, ignore that part of the of this sign. Okay, so this is a very clear sign that you're not allowed to do something. Now,
you were in the car and I was going to Sunday school. I saw you.
Oh, did you see me? Okay. Okay, that's good. Okay. So in our Bible story today, it talks about we need to be signposts. Okay. So why do you think we need to be signs? Okay. We need to be signs of goodness, a sign of sincerity. That's a big word. So being a sign means you are signaling to the world that you belong and you stand for something bigger and higher. And our sign that we stand for is Jesus and the cross. Okay, we represent Jesus. And if we go around in life and we talk to people, we embrace, we have a conversation and play with friends, we represent Jesus and we are the signpost of God. And it gives people direction of towards God. So how do we know God exists? Well, people look at us, how we act, how we interact with people, and how we play. We are the signposts for people to understand and know who God is. But there's another sign that also makes reference to God. Do you know, especially during this season, we use this sign a lot. It's in the church. So if you can have a look around and see if you can find a sign that also refers... Yes, where's the sign? Flowers, not really. It's not really. It's an official Christian sign that's been used for many, many years. Okay, so we are the signs representing God. People look at us, but there's also other sign that we use.
The cross.
Where's the cross? Did you see it in the church? Oh, there you go. There's a cross. And there's a back one in the back there. Oh, there's one in the purple. And yes, one as well. See, there's one over here. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of crosses. So this cross is like a traffic sign for the church. If people want to know where the church is, we just show this. And people know, oh, there's the church. Then they have to go there because this is the sign that that represents our faith and represents our identity. But it's not just this little piece of wood cross. We embody the sign of God. We live as spirit-filled people that represents God to society. So that's something that's a bit deeper to think about. Okay, so our next hymn is, I'm the church, you are the church. We are the signs. We are the signals to the world that we belong to God.
Today's Bible reading is Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength.
The route followed was from Shotts, Hartwood, Allenton, and then back to Shotts. I passed by the old Hartwood Psychiatric Hospital. The hospital building are now a ruin, but at one stage it must have been a beautiful, beautiful setting. I decided to go, have a look, and to take some pictures of the old place. To my surprise, I met a lady walking her dog that specific day as well. We started to talk, and she was willing to broadly tell me the story of the place, and it was quite remarkable how much she knew about the place. I'm thinking I just need to get her number. I really want her to come speak to the church, because the stories that she was sharing with me was profound and also inspiring and also interesting. So I'm going to try to get her to come and speak to us. She even directed me to the gravesite. There she shared with me the community project of identifying the unmarked graves. The patients that died at the hospital were buried at this gravesite. The beauty of the project was to identify the persons buried at the unmarked graves. So it just seems like an open space, and they went and identified each of the sites, and they marked it with a little sticker and a number, so that one can know who is buried. The patients that died at the hospital was buried there. The beauty of the project was to identify the persons buried at the unmarked grave. One can imagine it is not a simple task, considering that no coffins were used and the space between the bodies were very, very close, very minimal. Nevertheless, they managed to do so, resulting in a signpost indicating who is buried at what place. So you can go there, you can exactly know who is buried there. And one wonderful story that she told me was that there was a mother that died there. And her two sons never knew that her mother died at that hospital. And they were able to contact the two children, and they made them aware that the mother was buried here. And they got a small little sign and to give honor to their mother. So there's beautiful stories surrounding this gravesite. And this made me start to wonder and to think, how does this relate to our faith, and how does this relate to us as Christians? And the questions that I started to ponder was the following: how do people identify us as Christians? What is our signs? What is our mark? What is our sort of our stone that people know that we are Christians? The first sign is that we are alive. It's quite obvious. The first sign that is that we are alive, full of spirit and full of joy. I think this can be one of the most difficult aspects of Christianity, especially during this current time that we live in, is to be people of joy, people of life, people of full of spirit. Have joy in the Lord and show it. To realize the salvation in the Lord is a joyful experience. To come to faith in the Lord Jesus is a joyful experience. This, I think, sometimes is easier said than done. But nevertheless, it's something that is needs to be part of our identity, and it's sort of a habit that we need to work on, is to be joyful, to smile, to be happy, because there is joy and freedom in the Lord. The second sign that is more obvious is the cross. We uphold the cross. That is one of the main signals or signs that we embrace. The greatness of God, surprisingly, is discovered in the cross of Christ. The wisdom of God is revealed in the cross through His sacrificial death for us sinners. This is a core theological cornerstone, is that God acted on our behalf. God sacrificed His only Son on our behalf, bringing salvation. We didn't deserve it. It was through grace and mercy that God acted, and it happened through the death on the cross. Upholding the cross indicates our position in life. It is our sign. It is mind-boggling to think that God died for sinners. It seems to be foolishness. It seems to be not rational. But that is the wisdom of God. That is the power of God. That is the treasure of God. The wisdom of God seems to be foolish, but is really the treasure of the wisdom of God. As we have read, "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." So looking to Christ, looking at the Lord Jesus, we can taste, we can feel, we can sense the power and the wisdom of God. So that gives actually quite a clarity for us. Where do you get wisdom? Where do you get an understanding of true power? Well, get to know the Lord Jesus. Get to know Christ. Read the first Gospels in the New Testament, then one can start to sense what it all entails. With all our greatness and with all our achievements in life, we are unable to fathom and truly understand the power and the wisdom of God. Through our own efforts we can't truly, fully grasp who God is. The result is that we can only boast in the Lord, as He should be only be exalted. A core part of Christianity, of our faith, is that we don't boast in ourselves. We are not full of ourselves. Rather, we boast in the Lord. We boast in God and His actions, what He has done on the cross. Boasting in the Lord is honorable for us. During my post-degree training, I worked in a psychiatric hospital in Stikland in Cape Town. Before the training, there was this misguided understanding of a psychiatric institution. At that stage, I thought of it as dark, gloomy, and even scary. To my surprise, it was quite the opposite. So if you go to Stikland, it's a vast open space with a few hospital buildings, small little buildings scattered around. Each of the buildings specialize in a certain type of field of psychiatric medicine. So you have to drive quite far out to go to certain wards to see the doctors and to interact with the patients. But because it's such a vast open space and quite flat, it's actually a very nice place. It feels like almost like a farm. It is a place that encourages healing and well-being, and that was quite obvious from the beginning. The whole hospital, the whole setting, and even how the buildings were built and how the surroundings looked like was to encourage well-being and healing. The environment and program were set out to promote wellness. And because of this, I know personally of people that willingly booked themselves into the hospital so that they can just reboot. I know of a couple of individuals that has gone there out of their own willingness just to find a place of structure, support, and motivation so that they can feel rebooted to go back to their lives. I spoke to the professor at the hospital, and he told us that in certain cases, the success rate was higher at the hospital than in the community or at the home. The reason was that the structure that promoted wellness was in place in this hospital, in this setting, but at the people's context, at where they came from, it was not there. So in this case, your patient comes to the hospital, he gets better, he gets into a good routine, he becomes healthy. When then he goes back to his own context, the support structure is not there, and the person falls back into bad habits and maybe gets exposed to that which promotes his unwellness. So relapses sometimes happens when patients had to go back to their homes. And I'm giving you this picture just to give an impression of the wonderful job that this hospital done in South Africa and the good experience that I had personally working there. I think it will be appropriate to think of the church also as a place that promotes healing and wellness. So if you can think of a hospital that creates a place that is a place of healing, one can also think of the church as a place of healing, motivation, and encouragement, and to promote joyfulness. The church needs to be a place to encourage people to be happy, to find relief in all their circumstances, a relief in the Lord, a relief in knowing that you are connected to a higher purpose. The road sign that we are holding up is the cross of Christ. If you go to Hartwood Hospital, if you go to Stikland Hospital, there's always these signs pointing to where the hospital is, where you will find the place. Now, the signpost that directs to the church is the cross. And it is the cross, the sign that reveals the healing and the wisdom and the power of God. And it's in this cross that we trust in. It's on the actions of God that we rely upon. It is really the case this Lenten season that we promote God and His salvation. The main emphasis for this season is to say, God has done it. And for that, we are grateful for. This salvation is astonishingly can be found in the death of God. And to ponder this, to think, God dying, what does that mean? It's mind-boggling. But that is the wisdom of God. And it's revealed through this symbol, the cross. And His actions has done it for us, sinners. To think of God dying to demonstrate love is mind-boggling. Him sacrificing Himself is mind-boggling. Part of our prayers this season is to ask God that He will teach us to understand this better. Understand better this wisdom, revealing the heart of God. And the heart of God is love for us. Even though we don't deserve it, He gives it to us. And we may embrace it and be thankful for that. Amen. Our next hymn is Teach Us, O Loving Heart of Christ. Let us pray for others. Lord, you are great. Thank you for reassuring us that we are saved by your actions. Thank you, Lord, that we can be in your presence knowing that you love us and that we may trust in your actions on the cross. We are grateful, Lord, that you have extended mercy and grace to us, Lord. Thank you for that mercy and that grace. Thank you that we may feel it and sense it and understand it to be part of our identity. We look to the cross and we declare our gratefulness. Help us to uphold the cross so that the world may realize your goodness. Give us the insight to become signs of your works. Help us, Lord, to live with joy and freedom that indicates that we belong to you, that there is a greater meaning that we live for, that we strive for, and that is that we are children of you, Lord. And may the world see us, see you, and understand you through our actions and our deeds. Help us to live in a way that make people to realize who you are. May we live in a way that directs this world to pay attention to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that the world may start to boast in you and in your actions. It is mind-boggling to think that you have died for us. May this knowledge motivate us to do good works. May your actions motivate us to do good things in this world, to be good and kind to our neighbors. We pray for individuals to realize the significance of your actions on the cross. We pray for individuals in depression, in very bad places in their lives, that they can realize, Lord, that there's a God who loves, God that cares. And may they turn their hearts and their minds to you, Lord. And may you touch them and bring transformation so that they can live with freedom and with peace. We pray also for Scotland, Lord, and we ask that Scotland will turn back to the cross. We pray for Europe to take, and we ask that they will take again up the cross that was so firmly rooted in society. We pray for the West to notice the cross again, as it is the power and the knowledge of you, Lord. We bring to you our own personal prayers now at this moment. Now ask, Lord, that you will bless each of the prayers that will go up from here to you, Lord. Lord, with all our greatness and all our achievements, we are unable to fathom and truly understand your power and your wisdom. We ask that you make us humble, because we cannot even comprehend our insignificance compared to you. Inspire us to be humble in your face. We can only boast in you, Lord, because you are the maker and the creator of all. We pray this in the name of your Son. Amen. Our offerings will now be received. Lord, you have given so much to us. And we give a little back, Lord, to show our gratefulness towards you. Lord, help us to use these monies wisely so that we can communicate the cross and the saving works of you, Lord. May these monies also be a sign that we are grateful for your actions and your power and wisdom. Amen. Our last hymn for our worship this Sunday will be "The Earth is Yours, O God," hymn 227. The greatness of God is to be discovered in the cross of Christ. The wisdom of God is revealed through His sacrificial death for us. Go and uphold the cross as it is the wisdom of God. And if we want to boast, may it be only in the Lord. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Amen.